Good morning. It's the day the Lord hath made. Who, Roy, you're right on time. I love you, pal. How many of you have a real live Bible with you? Wave it at me. You got a real live Bible. I like that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. How many of you left it in your rear view car and you just pulled it out as you walked in this morning? I hope that wasn't the case. Look straight ahead. Nobody gets hurt. You know what I mean? You might not have a real Bible, but you've got an app and you have it on your phone or your pad. Wave that at me. Show that to me right now. If you've got that also and you do that. Okay, everybody to your feet. I want you to hold that in your right hand. And we are going to do something that we open the year with, and we will do it until the anointing lifts off of it, because I think it's something we should really do very strong. It's an affirmation. How many of you know it's time to make affirmations? It's time to, you know, a lot of times you don't know, I don't know what I believe, somebody said. Well, this is where you start in your affirmation. This is the starting point right now. We've been doing this every Sunday since the brand new year came, and it will not stop for the foreseeable future, because I'm just foolish enough to believe it will get down inside and it will touch you. And when you're in difficult, you will remember your right hand up in the air when you said these words. Put them up, right hands, and you know how to say it. Put it up for me, Mary Alice, and we'll say it together. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. Let's do it again, and you know the words I want you to hit. Let's do it. This word is wise. It has everything to do with my life and my future. It is my first call, not my last resort. It is the foundation of my life. And everybody said, amen. Be seated. God bless you today. Today, there's a brand new, the beginning of 2 weeks to challenge us, especially in the climate in which we live. I just want to lovingly say this to you. The church, traditionally for a lot of years, they've had their head in the sand and they lived their own little sing-songy life and not realizing what's going on out there in our world today. Evil has been unleashed at an unprecedented scale right now in our world today. And the purpose of these messages and the messages that will be coming in the next few weeks are for the concept of equipping. When you get ready to do something, when we did the storm repair in there, they sent somebody in there and they had to assess the damage. And then there was an assignment that we had to take. So today, to get it back in place. So today, we're talking about an assessment and we're talking about an assignment. And we stand here with the word this morning in a strong way. These are difficult times in which we live. These are difficult times. We've never been at a time just like this. I like the quote that David Jeremiah said, and he said it this way. We may not be at the end of the world, but we are at the world of the end. We are at the world of the end. We are at the world of the end. We can all admit it feels darker than it's ever been. We've told that cute little church story for so many years. The little kid was visiting his grandparents and his grandmother, and he was way out in his house and late night at midnight, and then the grandfather clock would do the chime there, and the little fellow was laying in bed, and it was midnight, and all of a sudden he heard the one, the two, the three, and it goes on, and he's counting 10, 11, 12. And then it went another one, 14, another one, 16, and all of a sudden he jumped out of bed and started running through the house. Everybody get up. It's later than it's ever been. And that's the way it feels a lot of times right now. Today we're going to be talking about what to do about a world that is in the dark. The first recorded words of God in Scripture says, "Then God said, let there be light." And it wasn't just that he said it. Look at the next phrase. And there was light. Something happens when God speaks. We love the songs about light and darkness. Some of y'all in the 80s, y'all were looking at your sweetie across the table, and you were singing with Kenny Rogers, "You turn the light on, you turn the light on." Back in 77, the song that went around the world, I was actually at Pat Boone's living room the month that this was actually released, and it was, they didn't know it was going to happen. "You light up my life." It was on the radio so much, you were going, "Make it stop, make it stop." But I want to talk to you about another kind of light. The songs of Zion speak about light. A lot of light songs, because that's what the word is. In him was light. And the light will illuminate everything. I was reminded, we break them down. We call them, those of us who have been church kids all of our lives, we have different kinds of songs. We had Sunday school songs. We had Sunday morning songs. And then we had Sunday night songs, which are more, you know, when we all get to heaven. And we sing those rejoicing things like that. And the different moods and different feels. And I remember one that actually, it came out of a almost like a Bible school type situation. The man's name was Charles Gabriel. He wrote this in 1888, so it's over 100 years old. He was a prolific songwriter. He was the one that wrote the old Sunday morning hymn, "How Marvelous, How Wonderful Is My Savior's Love for Me." He wrote the country type thing. They sing it every weekend on the Grand Ole Opry. "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" He collaborated with another guy, and he wrote the music to "His Eyes on the Sparrow." He wrote a Sunday school song for little kids that sang, "So Let the Sun Shine In, face it with a grin," and we sang those in Sunday school as little kids, and we loved it. But he wrote another song, and it was kind of like a Sunday night that was an affirmation. It was a charging us with the assessment and the assignment of what God wants. And what he did, it's an unusual the way he wrote it, because in lines 2 and in lines 4, he repeated it over and over, the message that he wanted to send. Lines 1 and 3 changed in the stanzas. He said, there's a call and it comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Another verse, let us not grow weary in this work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for that crown above. Send the light, send the light. The chorus went this way. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. And then he tagged it again. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Light the world forevermore. Light's a great thing. Humans need light. Humans need light. We have a light that is out in our pantry right now. I can write sentences. I can do certain things. I know I have the abilities to do. I can't fix that light if my life depended on it right now. And I've got to find somebody, because that little flashlight that's in the pantry, he's not doing enough right now. I'm not gifted in that way. And have I told some of my younger friends, they say, well, just look on YouTube and they'll show you how to do it, man. No, I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do that. But we need somebody to bring the lights. What happens when we don't have light? You know, humans get crazy when they don't have light. Did you know that? I heard of an experiment that happened in the middle 1960s. And actually, it was two cave explorers. It was a man and it was a woman in 1965. They took on an unusual mission. They lived separately in dark, desolate caves, and they put them in for months at the first of the year. And they wanted to test the effects of isolation and darkness. The female spent 88 days in the cave. Okay, she spent 88 days in the cave. Now remember, they started on January 1. But when she came out, they said, what date do you think it is? She said, it's March the 12th. Well, she missed some time. Worse than that, the man spent 125 days there. He thought it was February 4th. It was April the 5th. He lost all sense of time by being isolated in the dark. They'd lost months. Researchers find out that when we lose, when we're at a situation like that, in fact, they actually did some studies on him, that he would actually sleep, they said, 30 hours at a time, and when he woke up, he actually thought he had only taken a nap. That's why you've seen them use what they call sensory depriving of people during war times. The British government did a story. They took 6 volunteers. They locked them in solitary confinement for 48 hours to test their effect. The utter darkness, one man said, almost drove me completely insane. I lost my sense of time. We lose this and we forget where we are. Darkness dulls the senses. Darkness dulls judgment. You seeing the parallel where we're going right now? We live in darkness right now. Senses are dulled. Judgment is dulled. And if the lack of natural light can drive us insane. Even more, how much more do we need the spiritual light? Or we're going to go insane, because light illuminates. Light shows the way. Light brings confidence. Light helps our minds. And when we lose the light, we start looking like 2020. We start looking like 2021. We start looking like 22. We start looking at 23. What's wrong? The lights are out. The lights have gone out. It's always been this way. Over a year and a half ago, we talked about this young man, and I'm going to grab part of the scripture that we talked about, and we spent a lot of time on it. But I've been saving this to come back, because I wanted to really show you something here. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare." Now, a better word there, the word of the Lord was precious. It wasn't there. And when they finally, it was a very precious thing. When I see a word precious, I almost see this in my mind. Something that we don't want to let go of. We don't want to lose. "And in those days, there was no widespread revelation." Probably a better way to say that, there was no open vision anymore in that place. "And it came to pass, while Eli was lying down in his place, his eyes began to grow so dim that he could not see." Now remember that concept right there. "And before the lamp of God went out of the tabernacle," where the ark of God was, stop right here. I've never seen this before. You would think if you're near the presence of God, you've got all the light you need. But if you are dulled to it, you can lay next to the presence of God. You can stand next to the presence of God. You may have your Bible under your arm. You may have the bumper sticker. You may have all the words in your mouth, and you may pray louder than anybody else on the whole row there. But if you don't have illumination, you could be laying right next to it and not even know the power of it. Right near the presence of God, and they still had no light. Samuel was laying down, and the Lord called out, and he said, "Here I am." Well, you know the story. He goes to Eli, and it takes a little while for it to kick in. You know what I mean? And in fact, it's not going to be up here, but in near the, I think, the seventh verse, it said that Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Now, here, this is what it said to me. This is what said it to me. Here's Eli in a dark place. His eyes are dim. He's not on his game anymore. Their house right next to the presence of God, and it tells me there was still just a bit of a pilot light still on. It was low, but there's just something a little bit there. It was still on. He said, "Go back and talk to the Lord." Verse 10 said, "The Lord came and stood and called as the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel,' and he said, 'Speak, your servant is listening.' The word was rare, the light was dim, his voice was not heard. And even in the midst of that, God does not give up on the message. He was looking for one that would still send the light. If it was a boy, he'll take him. He'll take him. What about all those ones that could speak beautiful stained glass words? It's the one who was leaning and listening to what God was saying. According to Josephus, Samuel was only about 12 years old when God spoke to him. Later times in the scripture, they tell about another little Jewish boy who is about 12 years old, and he's in the temple, and he is enacting what Samuel had said, "Speak to me, Lord, your servant's listening." How could a little child say, "Look, I love all y'all, but I'm about my father's business right now"? And at that point in history, the word was rare, because there was so much religion and so many things going on. Even in the decayed relationship with God, the word had stopped. His voice was seldom heard. There was no vision. There was no vision. Why? Because there was no light of revelation. The light had been, it didn't go out. The light was allowed to go out. It wasn't important anymore. You know all the stories of what was going on. We dealt with that many, many months ago. And here he is sitting right next to the presence of God. How do you get to this point, though? First off, I don't think Eli gets a free pass here. As people who stand behind their pulpits today do not get a free pass. Do the connection here right now. Realize it was the duty of the priest to keep the lights on. It was the duty of the priest to keep the lights on. It was the duty of the priest to make sure there was illumination, making sure that there would be revelation there. But he was weary. He was getting older. He had some goofy sons who were defiling the temple there, and he was so passive, and he just wanted to be so loving and inclusive. He wasn't going to call them on it. And here's what I wrote. The special had become common. And that's the beginning step of losing the light. That happens in anything. When you lose the special, when the special becomes common, whether it's in your house, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in other things there, when you lose the sense of the special, you're drifting away from the dock. You're drifting away from the moorings of truth right there. And that's a strong word right now. Slowly, Eli starts dropping. I don't think there was anything one day when Eli said, look, I've had enough of all of this. I'm just giving up. No, I just think through the passage, the weariness of time that had been going on, he dropped his guard. Those of you who've watched those great fights, we've seen some of the old fights with Ali and some of the other fights there, and you watch those and Foreman, as hard as he hit, and Frazier, as hard as they would hit, they'd look pretty good for a while. So they would just say, I'm just going to beat your arms for a while. I'm not going to try to knock you out. I'm going to beat your arms for a while, so you're going to get just weary enough that for just a moment you will drop it long enough because of the weariness kicks in, and when it drops, the kill shot comes. Why do you think the scripture says to you, do not be weary in well-doing? Pay attention. I don't know. There's a lot of weary people. Some are looking at me right now. There have been times I've been in the car, and you love God and the whole thing, and you just feel weary. You feel weary. I told you that story. I came in one day years ago, and I walked in, and Linda was home, and they were all screaming, swinging from the lights, and everything like that. I said, "Come here, I need you to do something for me." She said, "What?" I said, "I'm gonna turn around, and you tell me, is there a kick me sign on the back of me right now that somebody posted on me when I was at my locker or something? I'm missing something right now because I feel like I've been kicked here this morning." There are people that love God, but they feel like they've been knocked around a bit. And by the way, when these things started growing, there is a residual effect when special things become common. We all know we get that new car for the first time. We get in and that smell is so good. You go by those places, you stop at a red light and there's a glass over there and you kind of look at your car and you look at yourself in that thing. Anybody ever done those kind of things like that? That looks pretty good. I know that guy. And you wave at him, things like that. You just feel like that. Oh, get in. Here, wipe your shoes off before you get in my car. But you've got some kids and life happens and things start happening. In about 6 months, you could reach down between the seats and put together a whole Happy Meal. You could scrape down and you could get fries. You can get all kinds of things there, pull it out the crack. You could get ketchup packets right there. You can find the toy even in the side. You can put together. It's lost a bit of that glow. Oh, we laugh at that, but we've done it in our walk. Not that we meant to, but we get overwhelmed. There are inescapable parallels of then and now in our world, in our nation, and in our homes, and especially in our churches right now. We're in a crisis mode, and the Church of America is not even clued into what's going on right now. People are dropping like flies around the world right now, and they're acting like nothing's happening. There are all kinds of evil going on that are being churned up and talked about in so many areas right now. We're at a point right now, and I wrote this question. So how did it get here? I'll tell you how it got here. The word is rare. The light is dim. His voice is not being heard. Thank you. Good night. Drive safe. What a message that is. Today, our values, our morals, and judgments have crumbled, and our thinking has crumbled. The acceptance of things that even natural society would wince at just a few weeks and months ago, we wince at them now and don't think of it, along with the Word of God. Even the Word of God, and even people in natural society would have called it shameful and perverse. But it's drastically different now. How do you get to the point where you do the unthinkable? You let the light go out. When the light goes out, you'll do the unthinkable. You'll lose track of time. You'll lose track of judgment in your life. Anything is possible when the light goes out. I'm working on a message. I've touched on it over the few years. I'm not ready. It's going to be some months down the road right now. There's a story in the Bible, and there's a statement that's been in the Old Testament that I always looked at kind of funny. You remember the story in the Tower of Babel where it's going on and they're doing their little thing, and we're laughing at they're going to build this thing and try to show God. But God says something that you never hear from God, and it threw me for just a minute, because he's God, okay? He says this. He said, if they are unified, there will be nothing impossible to them. How do you get to where we are today right now? There's a unified of darkness, a unification of darkness. They are unified in that which is demonic right now. It is so wrong. It is so wrong right now. The light has gone out. The need is big right now. The first remedy to stop the free fall is to deal with the church, to deal with the Christians. And when that falls, it then leads to the culture. That's why we're in the dark right now. We're witnessing the unbelievable, the unthinkable. We've now actually become the prophetic embodiment of what Isaiah said. Woe to those who call good evil, evil good, and good evil, who put darkness for light, light for darkness. Are you living in this right now? Are you living in this when you see things and you go, this is not true at all? And who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Priests haven't kept the lights on. They're preaching all kind of crazy messages. And they failed. The priests in leadership, whether they're behind the pulpit, whether they're leading our country, whether we're leading homes or we're leading a church, they failed. Even the churches and in the homes today, the word is rare. The light is dim. His voice is not heard. How did it get to this point? Leave the priest, because of weariness, they dropped the ball. They didn't keep the lights on. And sadly, even in historic revival churches today, when you look at the founding of the great colleges of America and the founding of the gospel in every one of the Ivy League schools there, of how the gospel went and the scriptures were companion text in everything that they had studied, when you see that was the foundation of every one of those famous schools, and they are so far from that right now. They're in shambles, and lives have been shattered because of it. The legacy now is not of faith, it's not of anointing, but rather it's a legacy of power struggles, narcissism, division, gossip, uncleanness, lethargy, money, and in some total unbelief and rejection of the word because of that point right now. You see, the things that have gone on in our world for the last 2 years have only been there for one reason at all, one reason alone, and that is to divide the people of God first. Because if you can divide the people of God first, there are some of you, and there are some people that looked at me and said, I don't want to hear what you might have to say about that. And how many of you know hell wins that when that happens? But there are some folks that I know said, I don't quite understand, but we're brothers. We're going to walk together. We're going to ask God to speak to us right now. And if they can break down that thing, you begin to break down everything else right now. And that's why I've spoken over the last two or three weeks. And there are people looking at me right now. And on one of the big things that we've been facing over the last 2 years, did you or did you not? Okay, that has divided families. That has divided churches. That is not the question at all. Here's what it is now. We know right now that everybody is in danger, whether you did or whether you didn't. You heard about is you is or is you ain't my baby? We're all in that right now. And we ought to be praying right now that in the bond of unity, we should be praying divine health for whether you did or whether you didn't. We should be standing against the hell, the gates of hell, whether you did or didn't. This should not be a place of division. This should be a place you be encouraged right now. And I stand with you and that in Jesus' name, because that supersedes anything, if we're walking in the word right now. But when we start moving away and it gets cold and the prayer stops in our heart, we have churches that Spurgeon described. He said, a time's going to come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. He said that a long time ago. Sounds like today's paper. Political and financial leaders openly speak about financial and legal repercussions for those who don't use their correct gender words or sign up for the latest scam about your finances. When you see I know a man who recently went to a place, a conference on the other side of the world a few days and a few weeks ago, and he came back with one word. It's demonic of what he saw right now. When you have reprobates, when you have maniacs like a Klaus Schwab saying the future future is being built by us. They're telling you right now what they're going to do. You don't have to go, well, God, we need to pray about it. No, you don't. You pray you bind that thing. You pray that it blows up. You need to do like the apostles did when they walked out. Lord, behold their threats and make them come to nothing and blow those things up in Jesus' name. The light had gone out. The demonic goal now is even to really what you're going on right now. It just happened. By the way, I'm here to tell you right now that for Easter, you're going to have to dye potatoes for your little kids. They'll be easier to get. It's an accident what happened a few days. 95 plants in the last 2 years have blown up. You do need to know that the mindset is to thin the population of what they actually call in their meetings useless eaters right now. Well, we don't need to hear about it. You better hear it because it's getting darker. It's getting darker, and you better have an answer for it right now. Do you know the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation? That's what it's called today. Do you know what it originally was called? The Bill and Melinda Gates Institute for Population Control. See, today tolerance is the preached buzzword, but it's not enough now. You have to require to speak the endorsement. You must support the peccadilloes. You must support the perversions. We are dulled right now in our senses right now. We don't even blink at these things anymore. We got guys dressed up like little girls reading in schools and in church libraries to little children. We got a mother of a 7-year-old boy right now that's trying to get court protection to do a drug hormonal treatment to transition her little boy into her daughter. We live in a world right now where you can't go on dress up. You can't pretend to be an Indian, but you can walk in and pretend to, a grown man can walk in and pretend to be like a woman. That's okay. How does it get that way? It's dark. The light has gone out, and everything is possible. God said anything is possible when the light goes out. Well, you got to understand, Jesus was a friend of sinners. That doesn't mean he affirmed them in the sin. Progressive people, Jesus was a friend for sinners. We even sing it. No, that is used to excuse things that are not of God. I have three things there, but I'm not going to read them right now. The last 2 years, by the way, folks, have only been a practice drill. Wake up, church. You ain't seen nothing yet, as they've said. The slaughter line has formed right now. So under all of the pressure we're living in right now, and it is pressure, the question is, where does the child of God stand? The next question is rather, how does the child of God stand? And how does he respond? We hear everybody needs love. God's all about love. We've progressed as a people. This concept has taken over the disingenuous foolishness of climate stuff when two of the people own 8 houses, 3 planes, 7 cars, and are uber wealthy. Something's going on. It's taken over discussions of income, corporations, church, even history, even education, everything. Unnatural lives that are the natural byproduct of when the message and the light goes out. So how does the child of God respond? You ready for it? You might have a tendency to walk out here and go, man, I don't know what to do. I'm overwhelmed right now. Don't walk away feeling that. There is life. There is hope. There's encouragement. There is strength. There is life. Boy, there are times we have to go, I believe all this, but Lord, can you help me out? Give me a little bit of thumbs up. Help me out. Get through this. What do you do? What do you do? Relax. Can I just tell you this real quick? Relax. You're not on the spot. God is. You know, I got to give them an answer. You might just say, I'm not sure, but I'm not losing anything by believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm not losing anything on that. And by the way, you may feel like you're alone. Sometimes, always at times, we feel like anybody that espouses the name of Jesus Christ, they're in the minority. And that is all people together. And that is one of the objects of the drill right now. God, I don't have to feel like I'm on the spot. We should always walk with love, walk with grace. We walk with truth mingled with discernment. I am not of those who want to take signboards and go down the street and rap people on the head with repent. If I read it properly, the word says it is the goodness of God that draws people to repentance. I only have one job, to say the word, throw the seed out. Throw the word, throw the word, throw the seed, say it over and over again. Over again. You're to stay in that word. Over and over, and he does something. The second thing you need to remind yourself, do not fall to the victim rewarded virtue. It's a lockstep thing. That's where we're living right now in our world. Why? You never would have dreamed of some of these things 20 years ago. You never would have dreamed these things right now. And now there's a distrust in everything that we held true, as even as little children. We need God. These things are only dreamed up out of darkness. You have to be, number one, you have to be bathed in prayer. You got it? You have to be bathed in prayer. You have to try the spirits. Listen a bit. You must examine what you're hearing under a microscope. And I said, what could I say about that? And I wrote three things down. Two of them, you're going to go, oh, yeah, you're supposed to say that. You're going to examine what you're going through in our world today under three things right now. Two are spiritual. One's very practical. The spiritual, the microscope of the Word of God. The Word of God. The Word will withstand the test of time. The Word will stand. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this Word will be sung through the ages. Number two, the microscope of Holy Spirit discernment. Is this true? Is it right? Can you tell the difference? A lot of people can't tell the difference if somebody has a gift in words. There's a lot of people gifted, and you can say some things, and you go, yeah, that's really right, man. And you're being taken down. Be encouraged today. Don't worry. And what's the practical thing? Examine it under the microscope of just natural history. My friend Dave Meyer, Joyce's husband, was ahead of this curve about 25 years ago when he used to encourage people about the history, his natural history. Somebody said, well, that's not very spiritual. Well, it's not that we're so great, but it's all about freedom in the Word. This is the only nation in the world that has done more to feed people, to touch people, to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if that can be shut down, and I'm going to tell you what, it was so easy to do that. It was made to sound virtuous. But if you had your discernment radar tuned up real hot, you'd have said, wait, there's something. This is not smelling right here. And you didn't quite understand yet, but you were so overwhelmed with an onslaught of darkness through media, a cooperation of that which was demonic right now. Because if we're not walking in the Word, discernment, and even reading where we've come from, we lose. We must seek God like never before. Step one for you guys, kick up your prayer. Kick up your prayer. You're in the car. You're waking up. Your feet hit the floor. What's the Word saying? What's the Word saying right now? R.A. Torrey said it this way: those persons that know the deep peace of God, the unfathomable peace that passes all understanding, are always men and women of much prayer. Takes the sting out of it, doesn't it? It's approachable. Lord, we come to you, this throne of grace. We must be prayed up, and we must be read up. Late tonight and tomorrow, you'll be seeing for the next 2 days, you'll be seeing some books that I would encourage you to read. None of them supersede the Word of God. You got it? None of them. But you do need to arm yourself with the Word. Some of the things that Eric Metaxas is writing right now, some things that people are writing about the spirits that are loose in the world today, and you will see, and especially you will understand it in light of the crazy celebration that is progressing already this week and next week in this area. Those very same names that you'll be hearing on TV of these groups, there are connections to things of a world that are not for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must be strong enough to be the light if we're going to be able to send the light. You know, we can't preach what we don't have. We can't pour out what is not in us already. We can't give what we don't have anymore. So step number one, you make sure you're prayed up. Make sure you're read up. Make sure you're talking to God. Make sure you're getting things inside of your spirit. Make sure you've got worship things playing right now and they're speaking into you right now. Turn off some of the foolishness and say, what would the Lord say to me right now? And start there. And then before you go out and jump off a cliff somewhere, you stand there and say, Lord, you lead me. You bring things to me and you will see God. God, bring things in your life, because we've heard that Jesus, we talked about being salt and light. I'll talk more about that next week as I pick up in the assignment Jesus gave us. But this is where we came in today. We're out of light. It's dark. It's dark out there. And it's the objective of the people of God to follow God's word and to send the light. First, you got to be the light before you can send the light. Have you ever had some people, their life is a wreck, and they're going to give you a word? You ever seen that? They just got to come on, they got that crazy look in their eye, you know, and you're not sure which eye's looking at you, you know, and they're coming to you, and they want to grab. I've sung all around the world, man, and you get these people, they just fall out of trees, man, and they come out, and you can see them coming. They've got that crazy look in their eye right there, and they want to come up and put an arm on you and give you a thus saith the Lord, and you talk about a life that's a wreck, and you just go, Lord, protect me right now from this foolishness right now. This is a crazy person right now. Our friend James Beal said, we're going to try real hard to help people, but he said, I'm convinced. He said, on judgment day, there's going to be a few people in one line, and God's going to walk up to each of them, and he's going to say, thou art a mental case. Don't be afraid, though. Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Friend texted me yesterday with these words, all caps, God's got it. Walk out as children of light. Our old friend Oral Roberts, what a kick he was. Don't believe all the news. He's a good man. The word of the Lord came to him in the late 50s, going into the 60s. And he wanted to write a mission statement for the future. And I think this works for the church. We'd only change one word. He said, raise up your students. I would say raise up the church to hear my voice, to go where my light is dim, where my voice is heard small, where my power is not known, even to the uttermost bounds of the earth. Does that sound like what was going on in the temple that Eli was in charge of? And he was looking for someone. Somebody said, you're really talking too much about topical things right now, but I feel the word of the Lord to all of you should be this. Your worldview starts in your word view. Amen. Your worldview starts with your word view. Start from there. Don't start from your foolishness. Don't even start from your mistakes. What does the word say? What does the word say? That's the save. You can actually go far in that. Light is so important. As I said, we bring illumination, healing, joy, and direction. But in other words, as you walk out this week, be conscious of who you are. You are people of light. So in other words, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let it shine from shore to shore. Next week, we're going to go a little bit deeper in this, and we're going to do some more digging. It's going to be kind of fun. It might not end with two, but it's feeling good right now at where two is. Stand to your feet. Lord, we love you today.